John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcast. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
It is Thursday, April 11th, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is the dude, Jolly Olive. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan along for the ride as well. He's my good friend. He's the MVP of John Boy Media.
Oh, he had
an amazingly successful trivia night in New York City not all that long ago. Am I introducing you well enough?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can keep doubling down if you want. You know, keep them coming if you want, but yeah. This is good.
Yeah. We're truth tellers on this show. So we are recording this late Wednesday night after all the baseball action was done. Plouffe can't be here because of a scheduling snafu. Producer Dan is flying on Thursday. So that's why we couldn't do the show at the regular time. Plus I had an NFL commitment. So we just got things moving all over the place, but we wanted to get a full show for you on Thursday in part because we're gearing up for Friday's first ever live edition of Baseball Today from Boomtown Brewery in downtown Los Angeles. Just a handful of tickets left. So go check it out at shop.johnboymedia.com. Jolly, we almost had you out here for this event.
Yeah. The lining of the schedule didn't quite work out. We can be honest. Trevor's just getting his beauty sleep right now, getting ready for the event. You know, he doesn't look like that naturally, guys. He needs to rest up, and there's a lot of prep that goes into it. So he's going to look great for you guys. You guys are going to kill it. I'm really excited for you. I just had an event myself, like you mentioned. So I think my event battery's kicked for a little bit. So you guys are going to go out there and, I know you guys will handle it very well in Los Angeles. So if you're going, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Hopefully it is the first of many. Very quick tip of the cap. On Wednesday, it was National Siblings Day. And who took advantage of that? None other than from my favorite team, the Cleveland Guardians, Josh and Bo Naylor. They both homered in the same inning for the second time in their career. And then Josh Naylor, the older brother, had the game tying double in extra innings. And then Bo Naylor with the walk-off hit. That's a pretty good night for the bros.
Pretty good night for your Guardians, Rosie, who are now very quietly a 9-3 team and are like hitting the ball very well. What's going on over there?
Shh.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize I was drinking. My bad. No, they're fine. They're playing 500 ball. You know, they're doing, you know, whatever.
Yeah. They've won every series that they've played, but this coming weekend, they'll take on the New York Yankees. I keep hearing they're a very popular team at John Boy Media, the Yankees. So we might be talking about that come Friday's show. But there's your little tip of the cap to the Naylor brothers.
Very nice.
There was huge, huge news in not only the baseball world and the sporting world, but kind of globally, because that's how big Shohei Ohtani is. The New York Times is reporting that Shohei's former interpreter, Yasipe Mizuhara, is about to plead guilty to federal crimes of stealing Ohtani's money to help pay off some gambling debts. The report says that Ipe may have swindled Ohtani out of more than the $4.5 million that was first reported by changing the alerts on Ohtani's phone so he wouldn't know that withdrawals were actually happening. Now, according to this report, the biggest news is that Ohtani has been cleared of any wrongdoing and any ties to gambling. Of course, once again, this is a federal investigation, and MLB is doing its own investigation. They have different gambling rules than are out there in the big world, so we still have to wait for that to be completed. But it certainly sounds like Shohei is in the clear, at least legally. Now, I feel like every time you come on this show, that seems to be the only thing we talk about, but what is your reaction to this?
It's really interesting to me because Shohei has played through this entire debacle. He's played well. Like, go check out his numbers. He's still doing Shohei Ohtani things. And this dark cloud's been looming over him, and we might finally be at the point where it might be time for him to just get back to baseball, which is, I'm sure, what he wants. On Ipe's side of things, it's unfortunate because, you know, as I mentioned on the other times that we discussed this on Baseball Today, these two were like brothers. That's how he described it in prior quotes. And if it is true and he's pleading guilty, like, you know, it seems to be, then that's just a grand betrayal and a really horrible thing that happened to a superstar athlete. I'm sure we'll never know the extent of the full truth on both sides, but I'm glad there's some sort of resolution on the horizon so that we can kind of just get back to baseball and, you know, I guess shed ourselves of the controversy that was laden in the early parts of this season.
Well, Shohei certainly will be able to get back to baseball.
Right.
There is going to be certain portions of the baseball fan base, certain portions of the media that are going to draw their own conspiracy theories, that this is a cover-up, that Ipe is a fall guy, that this isn't exactly what happened, that baseball, because Shohei is the golden goose, just wants it to go away. Okay. You're entitled to whatever opinion you want. You do not have to believe the legalist system. I mean, that is the wonderful thing about this country, is you are allowed to think as freely as you want. That's not the way I think. Personally, I know that some people are going to say, Rose, you owe Shohei an apology. Wrong. Go back and listen to what was said on this show, which was, you need to have a thorough investigation. Anytime there are possibilities of charges and accusations, it needs to be, you know, looked at and investigated. That's all I want, personally. Now, do I think that baseball has mishandled this? Very much so. Mm. I think the only thing they've done is release a statement. Nobody has gotten in front of a camera and said, here's the reason that Shohei is still playing, because I know that Michael Kay, not to call single Michael out, but he did say on his show, he, of course, the voice of the New York Yankees, came out and said, why in the world is he playing? Not everybody would be playing with these accusations. So that question would need to be answered by somebody. There might be a very good reason as to why Shohei has been allowed to play throughout this investigation. I would like to know what it is. I think a lot of people would like to know what it is. I don't sit there and watch Shohei Ohtani take cuts for the LA Dodgers and say, why is he playing? But some people do have that question. So what would it have hurt baseball's leadership to come out and say it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you 100%. I don't think you'll get that clarification anytime soon. I think you'll probably get some sort of sweeping statement after, you know, the guilty charge is confirmed or whatever, you know, comes of that. But I'm sure we'll get some sort of roundabout about the entire situation, and the season will go on as planned. And whether or not that sits right with you, I think that's what's going to happen. And I'm sure Shohei's party will be satisfied with that, because I'm sure the thing he wants to do is going back to playing Dodger baseball for the first time in his career.
Yeah, but you would certainly agree that there's going to be people that will look at this cross-eyed and say, yeah, there's no way that this is the way it went down, right?
Yeah, I mean, the baseball as a sport has been, you know, covered in controversy pretty much every decade of its existence, going back to the 1920s, to the steroid era, to now. Like, that's a part of baseball that I truly believe will never change. There's just something about the sport that links itself to athletes and coaches just finding their ways into trouble. But unless we're told the full truth and the full story, it'll remain that way. It'll remain a controversial, speculative, what-if kind of tale that I think MLB wants to put a bow on as quickly as possible. And, you know, at the end of the day, if Shohei gets to play baseball and gets his clean slate back, I'm all for it, because this is what we wanted to see from the get-go. We wanted to see him in a Dodger uniform and seeing what that team can do. And this being the first thing that happened in this massive contract is still something that will amaze me years from now.
Yeah, I wonder what how big a slice of the Ohtani pie this portion of the story will get when his career is done.
Right.
Probably, hopefully it's minimal.
It might be none. You know, it might be five dynasty in LA and people forget about this completely.
And once again, for people who are saying, well, there's no way this could have happened, that I know exactly how much money comes out of my bank account. Shohei lives in a very different world than 99.99999% of the people walking this planet. We don't know how often he checks his bank statements. He's not piling through them. Who knows if he ever even got alerts when money would come out. Yes, $500,000 withdrawals seem like an exorbitant amount of money to somebody like that who's not paying attention daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. Who knows? It could go unseen. I would like to have enough money to have $500,000 not matter.
Sounds like a good problem to have.
Yeah. Hey, man, you throw a few more of those trivia nights, that could be you.
We need one a day for the next 5 years when we can get there.
You mean one an hour?
Yeah, one an hour. One a day for the next 50 years, maybe?
Keep rolling, bro. One guy who's going to be rolling in the dough one day because we expect him to be great is Jackson Holliday, who finally made his major league debut on Wednesday night. He took an over. He did drive in a run, and the Orioles came back, and they ended up topping Boston. Overall, what are your expectations for this guy?
I don't want to say sky's the limit because I don't think that's what he should set for himself right now. You know, his young age, this rookie year. I think he's in a really good spot, though. I mean, we got to see that tonight because he went 0-4, and the team around him really produced that win between Kowser's catch in left field, the Red Sox sort of imploding on themselves, a clutch home run by Westberg. You know, those are the supposed to be the supplemental guys on the roster, not the big boppers in the middle of the lineup. And Jackson Holliday is kind of in that supplemental range right now. He's going to get to bat eighth or ninth every day. He's going to get to play in the middle infield and learn a lot from getting major league reps. And I think with time, he's going to only get better. But he doesn't need to be this instant star that I think when, you know, Bryce Harper got called up at 19 years old, the Nationals were like, all right, this is our guy. Let's go. You're going to take us to the next level. The Orioles are already at the next level, and Jackson Holliday is only going to make them better than what they already are. So I do wish that this came on opening day. Like I think I'm sure many other fans did wish to see Jackson Holliday get that nod because I think he deserved it. And, you know, he showed that at Norfolk where AAA was very much, you know, below his level at this point. So with time, I think he'll get his footing under him. I'm really excited for the first hit, the first home run, the first nice play, because I'm sure those are going to come in short order.
Yeah. I mean, he had a tough play on the pop-up that I believe plated Boston's first run. You know, tough one. I'm sure there was a little bit of wind.
Sure.
And, you know, he's still kind of an infant there at second base. He came up as a shortstop. So different angles, new outfielders he's got to deal with, all that sort of stuff. I said on Wednesday's show that he was in the perfect position. That's nothing new. It was the equivalent of Derek Jeter coming up and hitting ninth when he, you know, became a full-time starter at the beginning of the 96 season. They ended up winning the ring. This is a team that certainly can compete. And I think for the Orioles fans, that's kind of the beauty and the excitement and a little bit of the trepidation is because there's so many guys that are not only here, but also knocking on the door from that AAA level that they're not all going to be Baltimore Orioles at the end of the day. I still think that in addition to acquiring Corbin Burnes, they're probably going to have to get another veteran that they can rely on. So it's Burnes and somebody else that can help them weave their way through October. And so that means that some of these guys are going to star elsewhere, and that's okay too.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their top 10 prospect list right now, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the guys are at AAA or at the major league level, ready to go. With that being said, I think there's a cautionary tale to be learned from a team like the Cincinnati Reds, who were rumored to trade their infield depth for years and years, and then, you know, an injury and a suspension, and suddenly they needed all their guys, and keeping India looked like a great move. You never know what's going to happen over the full course of 162. These are young, unproven guys. Someone might struggle. Someone might get hurt. I'm sure the Orioles are keeping that in the back of their mind, but as we approach that July 31st deadline or whatever day the deadline is this year, I feel like it changes every year. The Orioles are going to have to mold those decisions. Jackson Holliday won't be a part of those decisions. He's going to be a Baltimore Oriole as long as they can keep him. But other guys might be susceptible, you know, names like Jordan Westberg, who may not be at the forefront of this future core of the Baltimore Orioles, but is still probably going to be like a really nice ball player for the next 5 or so, or, you know, decade or so of playing time. So they might not have room for him because they have about 8 talented infielders that they kind of all believe in. So these are the questions that they're going to have to ask themselves as we get closer and closer. And as that AL East race heats up, because like you mentioned before, your Cleveland Guardians are playing another team in the AL East that's doing really, really well for themselves right now.
Yeah. In fact, Westberg had a big home run on Wednesday night to get them back in this game and eventually help them win it. All I can tell you is good for you, Orioles fans. You had to sit through so much crap and poor ownership. And now that has turned the corner, not only with young talent, outstanding leadership, it looks like, in the front office and in the dugout, and now a brand new owner who is from Baltimore, who is willing to spend the money and get out of the way. And I think that is super, super exciting for everybody here. There was one other thing. I saw it somewhere on X, and I apologize because I forgot who tweeted it, but said that everybody in the Orioles lineup except for – who was it? O'Hearn has played the entire professional time with the Orioles organization.
That's really cool. Yeah.
I mean, like a guy like Santander, I know that he was like a Rule 5 guy from Cleveland, but I'm talking about was drafted and developed or worked their way via trade into the minor leagues and kind of developed through the Orioles system as well. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we play a fun game on JM Baseball called Fielder Resumes. And basically, the whole game is you try and guess what the team is based on the only clue being the last team that that player played for. So every position on the diamond, it's either a team logo of the team they played before or a home symbol, because that means they're homegrown. Our very hard on the most recent one was just a bunch of home symbols, and it was the Baltimore Orioles, because they're an entirely homegrown team, which you don't see a lot anymore. It's really, really cool. But again, you have to go through the years of slop and horrible baseball to get that, that amount of draft picks and, you know, trade capital to build your own system. So we're finally seeing the fruition there. So it's really cool for Baltimore fans.
Yep. So it's warming up around the country. I'm happy for you East Coasters. Hopefully that will, you know, be here to stay and not trick you like it's 60 one day and then it's 38 the next. I hope those days are gone, because I want to see plenty of sunshine in your new future. And if that's the case, then throw on a pair of these. Our friends at Shady Rays, they have you covered with premium polarized shades that simply won't break the bank. Shady Rays, it's an independent sunglass company offering a world-class product rated 5 stars by more than 300,000 people. Their shades, they have durable frames. They have crystal clear optics. You look great, by the way. Making them the perfect choice for all outdoor activities. I love them. Why? Because they've got this amazing, insane protection. Best one in the history of eyewear. Every pair is backed by a lost or broken replacement. So if you sit on them in the car, I've been known to do that. If you're swimming in the ocean and you lose them, I've seen that happen. You can get them taken care of. You call up and you're like, I need some help. They're going to get you suited and booted, and you're going to get a fresh pair of Rays. Don't worry. And if you don't love your shades, I've never ran into a person that says these things suck. You can exchange them for a new pair or return them worry-free within 30 days. Also, exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out the best deal of the season. Head on over to ShadyRays.com. Use that code today for 50% off 2+ pair of polarized sunglasses. And that offer applies to the custom Jimmy and Jake collab shades. So go get yours now. You'll thank us later.
Nicely done. Quick shout out, Vinny Pasquantino, first home run of the year for the Royals.
Yep. Former member of the Rose rotation.
Very nice.
We will have him on at some point this year. But yeah, we're going to have to drop him a text tonight and tell him he did a great job.
Hell yeah.
You know who else has done great? Christian Yelich. He's back. Or is Christian Yelich back? Hit his 5th homer of the year as the Brewers took care of the Cincinnati Reds on Wednesday night. So if Yelich is indeed back, if that is a statement and not a question mark, are the defending NL Central champs the team to beat in this curious division?
You know, I don't know if I said it on this show, but you can see it in the videos that I make. There's something about the Brewers that I can't quite quit. Every year, I believe in them too much, and they do well, and then they let me down in the playoffs. And the NL Central is cracking out to be a lot more interesting than I think anybody gave them credit for prior to the season, because all 5 teams are at least 500 right now. Cardinals are 6-7. They're right around there. It's anybody's division right now, and you kind of need an edge. And for the Brewers, their edge is going to be Christian Yelich going from being good again to being great again. Last year, we saw a version of Yelich that we hadn't seen in a while, an OPS above 800, 28 stolen bases. You know, he was drawing his walks. He had some of the pop back. But the Yelich we're seeing right now is the MVP we saw 5 years ago. We're 10 games into the season. We're not close to the end by any means, but the dude is slugging 757 right now. He's got 5 home runs in 37 at-bats. If even a shred of that is continued and sustained over the full 162, it completely changes the trajectory of what the Brewers could look like this year, because our biggest concern with them was who are the guys on the pitching staff that we're not familiar with and how are they going to produce runs? And they've been doing well in both departments, and a big reason for that is Christian Yelich so far.
Yeah, so it's Yelich and Rhys Hoskins and Willy Adames and a bunch of guys wearing diapers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's basically what it is. We're talking about a young, young team. Adam McKelvey, who covers the Brewers for MLB.com, wrote a really interesting article talking about Yelich and him looking into the expected batting average numbers as opposed to dealing with them in reality. And he's like, as baseball players, they don't have expected numbers on the back of your baseball card. So right. We're used to the, he goes, but what it allows you to do is trust your process. And that's what I need to get back to, is trusting my process. The pitching is the thing that won't allow me to say, yeah, the Brewers are definitely the team to beat, because Freddie Peralta, Wade Miley just threw his first game of the season on Wednesday night and had a typical Wade Miley outing, right? He was limited in terms of pitch count, but he went 4 innings, walked 2 guys, and didn't strike out a soul.
Shout out Dalton Feeley.
I mean, I love Wade Miley. I love watching him because the freaking guy, he doesn't get any strikeouts whatsoever. In the world where we deal in velocity and spin, he just gets out there and like, he's like, all right, I'm going to pitch it from my hunting blind and get you out.
That's the reason he's been going 15 years, Rosie.
Dude, it's amazing. Now, I don't think that this pitching staff can hold up. Mm. Not compared to the rest of the division. I think there's too many other guys. Like Cincinnati, some of those guys got to grow up. Like, if you're not going to trade for certain dudes, and I know Frankie Montas is off to a really nice start, and Nick Martinez could certainly help him out, but I'm talking about Hunter Green and Lodolo when he comes back, and Andrew Abbott, and all those guys. Like St. Louis, Sonny Gray finally got activated off the list. The Cubs with Shota, and I know Justin Steele's going to be down for a little while, but when he comes back, he's obviously proven. I don't know if Milwaukee has enough of that.
I mean, there's a lot of unproven guys on a ton of the NL Central teams. Yeah. Like, we're really excited about the start of Jared Jones, but who knows what that's going to look like a month from now for the Pirates. They've been getting good pitching. We'll see how that fares. The Reds, I feel like we have the same conversation every year of, you know, Abbott, Green, Ashcraft. Which one of these guys is going to take the step and be the ace? Right now, Montas, like you said, off to a good start, but how long does that last? Cardinals, Sonny Gray is a huge pickup. Lance Lynn is off to a terrific start. How long does that last? It's going to be a matter of who can sustain their hot start and get sustainability from their rotation, because I do believe all of these teams can hit really, really well. It's just an added bonus that the Brewers are in that conversation as well, because I thought that would be their Achilles heel that would separate them from the pack in the wrong way. So the NL Central, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's going to be the hardest division to call this year. I think it's the only division where I could feasibly see all 5 teams, you know, having a shot at winning the division at the end of the year. So if I had to do a blind pick right now, this is a fun exercise, 10 mm-hmm. games into the season, 12 games, whatever it is. My blind pick for the NL Central, I think I would probably give it to the Cincinnati Reds. I just recently watched them play against the Mets. I liked mm-hmm. a lot of what I saw, and that lineup can bang. And I do believe, in terms of talent with the young rotation arms, a guy like Hunter Green, Abbott, Ashcraft, one of them has to click this year, right? So I'll go Reds.
Well, that's who I went with in my preseason pick.
Ah. And
2 weeks in, I'm not going to get off of that. But the thing that really gives me a little bit of pause is the injury to McClain.
Yep.
I know that they hope to have him back maybe by August, it sounds like. But what it means is you can't move certain guys, right? If he was around, I think you could trade maybe even for some experience pitching that is a little more proven. Because, yeah, I went with it saying basically your thought process.
Yeah. That
one of those guys, one of those young guys has got to make the leap at some point. Well, they haven't. They haven't made the leap. And that's going to be the difference between them playing meaningful baseball in October or going into an offseason saying, all right, now what do we do?
Right.
But good for Milwaukee and great for Christian Yelich, who's one of the good dudes around baseball. And he's like, he's going to be the last remaining pillar there in Milwaukee. And because Adames, I don't think will be around after this year if he even makes it all the way through the year. So we'll
That's
see.
True. 8-3 start, though.
So one of Houston's top prospects made his pitching debut at the major league level, Spencer Allgetti. First 2 innings against Kansas City were phenomenal, right? Goose eggs. His family was psyched. Like, first batter of the game, he gets a punchy, and I loved it. They're all like screaming at the top of their lungs, which is the way you want people to react I loved it. I thought it was awesome in there. And then the third inning came, and that didn't go so well. Seven runs, seven hits in three innings. Does it feel like for the first time in quite a while that Houston's pitching is susceptible?
It's just that injury bug, man. It's hit them hard. But I mean, I don't want to commit to that yet because they always have an ace in the hat. I mean, Ronel Blanco is a perfect example of, you know, an ace in the hole that they just kind of found, and teams didn't have a scouting report on him, and he blew everyone away. Like, the Houston Astros always find a way to find talent on their roster, especially in the rotation. But I don't know. I'm looking at the way the rotation is made up right now, and it's just a lot of question marks between, you know, I'm sure Arrigetti will have a better outing his next time out. But Hunter Brown had a really tough second half last year. Christian Javier bit me pretty bad last year after I put a lot of eggs in his basket. And then JP France, we saw, you know, the worst of him in the playoffs. And this is where they're at right now for the first, you know, month or so of the season. So much talent is injured for them right now between Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers Jr., Jose Urquidy, Framber Valdez, Justin Verlander. That might be their true one through five, and all of those guys are hurt. So, yes, they're off to a slow start, and yes, they are the Houston Astros, so they get the benefit of the doubt. But how long do they get the benefit of the doubt? Because the Rangers kind of made them look tough in some of those games that they were playing against each other, and the AL West is not going to slow down. Like, the Mariners will pick themselves up. The Angels are always off to their nice start. Who knows how long that lasts? The Astros need to figure out something soon because the bullpen was supposed to be highly touted too, and they've already blown a ton of games. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going on with the pitching staff in Houston because this is just not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah, by the way, I misspoke. I said Arrigetti. It's Arrigetti. You got it right. I got it wrong. I had a typo.
Think spaghetti. Think yes. Spaghetti.
I know. You know, I just had pasta tonight. Yeah, I'm not going to go that far down the road. Not for a team that's made, what, seven straight ALCSs? Like, they always seem to figure it out.
Yeah.
But there are massive questions here. Like, you are relying on a 40-plus-year-old Justin Verlander to kind of save the day, which he can. He can. He kind of did last year. So I can't put that past him. But they have to get a lot of innings because we don't know if and when Fromber's going to be available. This right. isn't going to be a 15-day thing. They are going to make sure that he is – as healthy as he can be before they even start any sort of throwing program with him. Garcia and McCullers, they're hoping midseason with those guys coming back from major injuries. Not only do they have to get a lot of innings from kind of question marks in their rotation, yes, they brought in Josh Hader, but they lost a lot of guys that gave them innings in relief.
Yeah,
because their starting rotation after the All-Star break was not good. I mean, it was an ERA that I think was right around 4.75. So those guys had to eat a lot of innings, and they did. They did it very well. So it's not that the Astros can't do it. It's just that you're asking a lot of guys who maybe haven't done it, haven't done the extensive work, haven't logged more than 120 innings as a starter, haven't give you those meaningful outs out of the bullpen to do it. And I'm not just talking innings 7, 8, and 9. There's a lot of times where the starters will go 3 2/3. And you've got to get to innings 7, 8, and 9. That's where they've been so good. I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see how they do.
Yeah, with Arrigetti's three innings tonight, they're averaging 5 innings a game from their starters. 65 1/3 in 13 games. That levels out. So the bullpen's been having to throw essentially half the game every time, and they have the eighth worst bullpen ERA in baseball at 4.95. It's a recipe for losing games, and it's a recipe for putting your offense in holes that they can't climb out of. I'm sure things will level out, and we've seen a lot of teams, you know, not get a ton from their starters early on. But I think the issue of it really gets highlighted when they play a team like the Kansas City Royals, who have been winning games off the back of their rotation, going deep into games and preserving the bullpen early on in the season. Because you and I both know, if you tax your bullpen a lot early on, it will come back to bite you if you're a team trying to make a deep season push, which the Astros do year in and year out. So as much bullpen talent as they have, they are missing those guys that are the multi-inning guys, which have become this year especially all the more valuable. Teams are building their bullpens off guys who can get them 5 or 6 outs in a game, because if you can throw that guy out there and then rest him for 2 days, you don't need as many one-inning guys if you have the bulk guys. And the Astros really just don't right now.
All right, before we get out of here for the day, Vladimir Guerrero, boy, oh boy, wasn't a great day for the Toronto Blue Jays, but he smoked one almost 460 feet. So I couldn't ask Plouffe this question because he was a major leaguer. I can ask you, if you had a superpower, a baseball superpower for just one day, would you rather hit a home run 460 feet or throw a pitch 100 miles an hour?
I think I'm going to lean into the strengths I already have. You've seen me throw a blitzball pitch. You know what it's like. And also my elbow hurts at the thought of it. I think I want to hit a home run 460 feet. Because you know what? I have a fun anecdote. I joined my dad for his team's baseball practice. He's 60 years old. He still plays live pitch baseball. He's a nut. I don't know how he does it. And I was swinging with a wooden bat for the first time in a while. And man, if you do not get a sweet spot, that shit hurts, man. And it does not go. I don't care if you're lifting every day. If you're built like me, that shit does not go. So hitting one 450 feet, 60 feet, whatever it was, that'd be very satisfying. That is my pick.
I've had the good fortune of taking batting practice in three major league parks. Four. The old Marlins Park, where the Dolphins still play football. out in Anaheim, at Fenway Park, and in Washington. And there have been a couple of times where I felt like, oh my God, I got a hold of one. I did. I one hopped the monster.
Yeah.
I hit a two hopper to the wall in Anaheim. And I was like,
there's no video evidence of this, right?
There is. Totally.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Damn. Might have to put that in.
Yeah. There's video evidence of all that stuff somewhere. But it was as fun as can be. So just to hit it another 150 feet, sign me up. Sign me up. I want that feeling.
Yeah, I'm still working on my first stadium BP, but I'll let you know when that happens.
You'll get it. You'll definitely get it. It's my BP days are over.
No.
Because of my BAC.
Oh, this wasn't recent. This wasn't like last week?
This was not last week.
No, okay.
I think the most recent one was probably Washington. I hit in a group with Scherzer. It was me, Millar, and Scherzer.
Oh, okay. Dream team.
Yeah, that was fun. That was definitely fun. Good one. All right. As always, you're the man for helping us out on short notice yet again. So thank you very, very much. Quick reminder, shop.johnboymedia.com for those last few general admission tickets to our live event at Boomtown Brewery in downtown Los Angeles before the Dodgers and Padres game. Make sure you join us for that. For our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the MVP of John Boy Media, the Trivia Master himself, Jolly Olive. I am Chris Rose. We will see you Friday for a doubleheader of Baseball Today.